Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Larry Richard with our anchor man this morning, Pat Septak. A lot of people reflecting on yesterday's 6 years since the Tree of Life Massacre in Squirrel Hill. The 1027 Healing Partnership held vigils. Some of the survivors of that day we certainly remember here on a Saturday 6 years ago, and the aftermath of what has transpired since. And they also went to the Rose Garden, which was established at the Flight 93 Memorial. And the 1027 Healing Partnership participating in that as well. And Pat, we're going to have Governor Josh Shapiro on right after the news at 8:30 to reflect on that.
Yes.
And also, of course, while we have him, we'll ask him about the details of the $600 million plan to revitalize downtown Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the upside.
Yeah, major economic news there on Friday.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's a substantial investment into the region.
Absolutely.
And really got a positive reaction overall. Kind of gets people pumped up. And
sure.
It comes at a time when, you know, it'll be a year from April when we host the NFL draft, much talked about. And by then, some visible signs of a revitalization plan, you would think, when you have the nation's spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you're talking about that huge, you know, amount of money, I mean, they're serious about revitalizing this area. So
we'll ask the governor about some details on that, and of course, I'm sure he'll want to weigh in on the presidential campaign. Also, Second Avenue Commons, after the fire that shut it down, the shelter in the city, speaking of which, run by Allegheny County, is set to reopen.
That's right. Yeah, Tamara was invited to get a sneak preview on Friday, and she did a good job of reporting on that. But yeah, today's the day. This is the week.
Important because so many people have been displaced since that fire, so they're hoping to that this will kind of jumpstart being able to house the unhoused and find treatment for people who are struggling. And then, of course, you know what people are going to be talking about
today. Of course. Steelers.
Monday Night Football hosting the New York Giants. I wonder, over the years, you know, Monday Night Football used to be the game of the weekend spotlight. But you mentioned something that really resonated with me. This is the third national TV appearance for the Steelers. They had two Sunday night football games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In a matter of 3 weeks. And then tonight marks, what, 23
days? Yeah, 23 days. Yep, third one.
And you've been around long enough when that really resonated with fans. Going back to Howard Cosell. Howard Cosell live from Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers with a chance to take sole possession of first place if they can beat the Giants of New Jersey. I mean, they're really not in New York. You know they play in New Jersey, don't you?
Yes, of course.
So they're really the New Jersey Giants. Meanwhile, rarely do we have a chance to thank the Cleveland Browns for anything. But you got to hand it to them.
You do.
Right, Ryan? I mean, who expected the lowly Browns at 1-6 to go against the Ravens, who just won 5 in a row and win that game yesterday?
Not me. I had it on in here, and I was surprised.
Stunned. Absolutely stunning. And so tonight is a big night and opportunity, because if the Steelers find a way to win, they'll be at 6-2, sole possession of first place in the AFC North and going into a bye week. And their next game would be on the road against Washington, who had a miracle finish against Chicago on the last play of the game. One of those Hail Mary passes that bounced off a Chicago player and into the open arms of a Commander, and they won the game. And everybody was stunned.
Mm, yes.
T.J. Watt was asked about playing against the Giants and their big quarterback.
He's a big quarterback. We've only seen him, I think, in 2020. I think we played there. But, yeah, he's a big quarterback, fast guy. I think he's hit some top speeds over the past couple of years. And a guy that doesn't seem to want to slide. He has that competitive edge to him where he's always trying to get the line to gain. And it allows for some opportunities to hopefully ball surge. But we also assume that they watch film, too, and he's watched film, and they're trying to continue to be smart and take care of the football.
T.J. Watt. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. Oh, by the way, Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback. Apparently, Justin Fields has some kind of hammy issue anyways, which, you know, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin likes to play it close to the vest when they ask him every week. Hey, who's going to start a quarterback? We'll let the week reveal itself.
Yeah.
And the week is revealed that it'll be Russell Wilson at Acrisure. By the way, the game kickoff starts at 8:15.
Yes.
Monday Night Football.
I'm feeling a win.
Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. We'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and how about our high school sports? The regular season for high school football ended over the weekend, and the selection show live on KDKA has all the details. You can come to our website for all the matchups, and we've got that for you, kdkradio.com. Our team does a great job at high school football each and every week, and we will take you right through the playoffs. A new bank rate study confirms that many families, something we already knew, and child care is expensive. Analyst Alex Ganey breaks down the numbers.
On average, full-time center-based infant care costs around $14,000 annually per child in the U.S., which translates to almost $1,200 per month. So nationally, a typical family would have to allocate nearly 15% of their income to afford that. That's more than a household's average annual budget for food, healthcare, and transportation, according to our study.
Yeah, the practical parts. The survey found the most expensive states for child care: New Mexico, Hawaii, and New York. The least expensive, South and North Dakota and Utah. Gailey recommends checking your local county and state offices. See what services, tax breaks, or financial opportunities are available in your area for child care as well. They have a website, childcare.gov, that can kind of help you. So if you are having anxiety about child care, you know, you're couple of months into the new school year, and typically this is when you reconnect with child care opportunities. 1 week from tomorrow, the election. Here we go, right? And sentencing in Washington, D.C. today for a Hollywood actor who pleaded guilty to being part of the January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol. CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane reports.
There are nearly 1,500 total January 6 defendants, and arguably the most famous is Jay Johnston, an actor who had appeared on Bob's Burgers and Arrested Development. Prosecutors will seek 18 months in prison for Johnston, arguing he was part of that riotous mob. Johnston will seek leniency. His defense lawyer argues ahead of sentencing that he's effectively been blacklisted from the film and TV industry.
And Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned Sunday in Philadelphia. She held a rally in Philly Sunday evening. She sought to draw a distinction between her campaign and that of Donald Trump.
We focused on the future, and we are focused on the needs of the American people, as opposed to a Donald Trump who spends full time looking in the mirror, focused on himself.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump in New York City in Madison Square Garden, a capacity crowd of 20,000 plus, with several thousand outside, held a rally that included a bunch of celebrities, also included, and you'll hear more about this coming up right after the news at 6:30. One comedian's joke kind of derailed the evening, and we'll explain how that happened right after the news with Pat Septak at the bottom of this hour. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard, hope you had a good weekend and enjoyed the crisp cool of autumn. But this week, it's going to be a lot warmer as we get ready to say goodbye to October on Halloween Thursday. There were some Halloween events over the weekend, and I saw a lot of strange-looking costumes, people dressed up. Ryan, were you out and about this weekend at all? Oh, you were here. You were basically chained to the producer's studio.
I wouldn't go that far. I went out a little bit on Saturday night.
Yeah, so how old are you?
I just turned 23 a couple weeks ago.
Good Lord. So what did you do?
Just went to a bar with some friends after I watched the crushing World Series Game 1.
Yeah, Ryan is a Yankees fan, a New York guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I was a shocker. So
especially
the Friday night game with the Grand Slam walk-off.
Yeah.
And then they lost, so they come to New York down, in your case, 0-2.
Big game tonight, big game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who's pitching, do you know?
I believe Clark Schmidt, which, you know.
Maybe the friendly confines and the fact that the weather will be very un-autumn-like in New York.
Exactly.
Also, so it'll be good.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
You have enough world championships. But the Yankees, for as much money as they pay their players, they haven't been in the World Series for what? Like over a decade?
15 years.
Yes, 15 years.
I was 8 years old.
It's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I don't know if you're aware there's an election next Tuesday.
Yeah, I've heard something about that while I've been here.
Curious, though, as a 23-year-old, how immersed are you and your friends in this process?
I think it definitely depends on who your friends are. And I think because of just, you know, the people I happen to be friends with, where I'm probably more immersed than maybe your average 23-year-old.
Just because of your job here.
Well, definitely because of my job here.
You can't avoid it.
Oh, absolutely not. It definitely keeps me way more informed than the average person my age.
Does it surprise you how many times that the candidates have crossed through and will continue to do so apparently in the next week?
It kind of does. I think, you know, obviously I was in Pittsburgh for the 2020 election, but just because of COVID and, you know, other distractions and stuff, I feel like they were maybe here a little less, just again, because of restrictions. And then also...
No, that's probably true. No, it is true.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's shocking to see how important in this region is.
How divisive does it feel to you? Do you have friends? Obviously, I assume you have friends that are either Donald Trump supporters or Kamala Harris supporters.
Yeah, it is definitely pretty divisive. I mean, it's so present in everything that, you know, maybe sometimes you try and avoid it because you don't want to get into any big disagreements with your friends, especially as it gets closer and closer and closer.
Well, let's get an update on what the candidates have been doing over the weekend. CBS's Jared Hill.
Both candidates have deviated from the traditional swing states in these days before the election. But former President Trump's message yesterday and his focus was familiar here in New York's Madison Square Garden, although some of the ramped up rhetoric at the event is getting criticism from folks across the political spectrum.
In a homecoming for former President Donald Trump, the New York native rallying thousands Sunday at Madison Square Garden.
We will have the strongest economy, the most secure borders, the safest cities, the most powerful military.
The crowd welcomed a rare appearance from Trump's wife, Melania. But this morning, there's bipartisan fallout over a comedian's racially charged jokes that opened Trump's rally.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Republican Florida Senator Rick Scott wrote on X, "It's not funny and it's not true." Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz pushed back during a Twitch live stream with New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
There are hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans across in battleground states that need to send them a message on this.
The Trump campaign says the jokes were not reviewed beforehand and they do not reflect the former president's views, as both campaigns work to win over Latino voters.
How are you doing?
In Philadelphia, Vice President Kamala Harris visited a black barber shop and church and a Puerto Rican restaurant on a blitz through the crucial battleground.
We have an opportunity before us to turn the page on the fear and the divisiveness that have characterized our politics for a decade because of Donald Trump.
Today, Harris campaigns in Michigan while Trump stumps in Georgia.
And tomorrow night, Vice President Harris is going to be taking her final message to the nation's capital with a speech at the same space that former President Trump spoke on January 6th of 2021. All of this as polls are showing the race neck and neck for these candidates, even at this point.
CBS's Jared Hill in New York. And tomorrow, Westmoreland County, don't have the details yet. Former President Bill Clinton will be in town. And obviously stumping for Harris, and back and forth they go, crisscrossing the state, and otherwise 1 week tomorrow to the presidential election. We've got you covered here on KDKA. Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Pat Septak, scamming. We're going to talk to an expert from the FTC about issues, especially as we get into the holidays. More and more people are being scammed and finding ways in the electronic world we live in to do it. And surprising how easy it is sometimes for some people to be fooled. And then not so surprising, because it's really clever how the scammers do it. But you might want to pay attention and follow along, because we could probably save you. And I know a story, somebody that is well known in this town whose mom was scammed out of her life savings, and you wonder, well, how does that happen? And part of it has to do with artificial intelligence and the ability of people to clone a voice familiar to someone on the phone, call them, and have that voice suggest that they're in great stress for one reason or another, and they need help, and that's what happens. So I think it's a really important conversation. Also, Jeff Hathorn's going to join us right after the news at 8, talk about the Steelers and Monday Night Football hosting the New York Giants, and for the first time in 4 years. And we want to thank the Cleveland Browns for surprising, shocking football yesterday by beating the streaking Baltimore Ravens, who were on a 5-game win streak headed into Cleveland yesterday. And Cleveland had only won one game. And since Deshaun Watson is out, they had Jameis Winston in his first start in a long time, and they ended up beating the Ravens. So the Steelers have a chance to do something special tonight. They can be 6-2, sole possession of first place heading into a bye week, to get healthy before they're on the road in Washington to play the Commanders, who had a miracle finish yesterday themselves over Chicago on the last play of the game with a Hail Mary that bounced into the awaiting arms of a Commander in the end zone. Boom, they win. That was a shocker. Ryan, did you watch any of that? You were here yesterday, right?
Yeah, so I was here. I saw a little of it. I didn't see the final play, though.
So he just, you know, throws it up, and it bounces off a Bears hand, probably around the 5-yard line,
wow,
into the end zone. I forget which Commander receiver caught it, but they literally won the game on the last second in very dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
So how close do you follow Steelers football? Even though you're a New York guy, are you rooting for the Giants tonight?
See, it's funny. I actually thought about that. I'm really not rooting for the Giants just because, as far as I'm concerned, they should just lose every other game this year. So,
well, their quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
They call him Danny Dimes.
They do. Maybe less so this year than last year.
Maybe not Dimes. He came from Duke. He signed this huge contract, four-year deal, like March 23 for $160 million. Was going to be the savior of the franchise, right?
Yeah, he was going to be. Not sure that that's really the plan now. I don't know what the plan is now.
And really curious, you know, the Manning brothers do this show. Of course, Archie Manning and their sons, they have, you know, Eli was your guy, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Got you two Super Bowls for the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
And his brother Peyton. Guess who's going to be their guest tonight watching the Steelers-Giants game?
I'm not sure.
Bill Carr. Do you ever watch that show?
No, not really.
So for those that don't know, the Manning brothers watch Monday Night Football while you're watching it, and they talk about, so it's almost like you're sitting on a chair in the room and observing what they're saying about the game. So you still kind of see the game, but you also get the reaction to everything that's going on. And their special guest tonight is Bill Cowher, former Steelers coach, obviously Hall of Famer. Sundays on CBS. So we'll see what happens tonight. So you don't care either way.
No, I'll I have a Steelers fan, a close friend, a couple, so I won't be angry or anything if the Giants lose this game.
Good, because we won't either. Good morning. Happy Monday, a Steeler Monday, hosting the Giants tonight at Acrisure Stadium on Monday Night Football. Chance for the Steelers to own sole possession of first place in the AFC North. And we'll talk about that in our next hour with our Odyssey Sports Director, Jeff Hathorne. By the end of the week, it's November, and the holidays are right around the corner, too, and a lot of scammers are out there. So we've invited Sammy Noctegal with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, to join us to talk about some of the things that are going on. Welcome to KDK. Good morning. Sammy, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm well.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on, because each week we hear of some new scam, but this one where they're claiming to be from Amazon or Microsoft and contacting people, or people pretend they're a friend or loved one and try to get them to invest. So share with us some of the latest scams going on.
Yeah, so all of these scams, the schemes that you just described, we group them all as imposter scams, but they can take on a lot of different forms, these imposter scams. They can pose as a well-known company like Amazon or Microsoft, as you said, or they can pose as a friend or a loved one or someone you know that's trying to help you invest your money. They can also claim that they're from a government agency and say you own fines or taxes, when really they're lying, they're a scammer, you don't owe anything. And these scams are very increasingly common. We saw in just the first half of 2024, that's January through June, the FTC got 360,000 reports about imposter scams with over $1.3 billion in reported losses. And we know that's just the tip of the iceberg, because not everyone who experiences one of these scams is going to report it.
Right, because on one level, they're embarrassed that they've been scammed. And I heard somebody I know whose mom received a call. The voice sounded just like a grandson, and on the call expressed that there was this grave danger and needed money immediately, and it ended up draining her savings. This is not extraordinary. These things happen every day, right?
Yeah, we hear this kind of scam happening very frequently. We term them the grandparent scam, because often they're posing as a grandchild, but you know, it could be any friend or family member. And now with artificial intelligence, some may now be able to clone voices, so it can be harder and harder to determine, is it actually that friend or family member calling? You know, the stories can be very elaborate, saying they're in jail and they need bail money, or, you know, they've been in this terrible car accident, things like that. And they also often try to, you know, talk to the person to get them to stay quiet about it, to not, you know, contact their mom or dad or tell anybody, because they want you to stay on the phone, send the money, and then they'll just disappear with it. And you'll be left without any way to really get that back. And then later you might find out, oh, well, my grandchild or my, you know, friend or family, they were never in any danger at all. If I would have taken the time to stop, check on that story, you know, really dive in and see if this person who's calling is actually the who they purport to be, that scam could have been avoided.
Well, they're very clever in how they do this, apparently, suggesting that it's life or death in the moment. You got to make a decision now. And maybe we should create some safe words for people. But above and beyond that, what advice do you have for people not to be taken advantage of?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of ways that scams change over time or get a little bit more crafty in certain ways. But a lot of things stay consistent year after year, scam after scam, no matter how they change. And the advice then stays the same. Never move or transfer your money to someone who contacts you unexpectedly. Also, avoid that sense of urgency. They want you to act fast. You know, they're going to give that really emotional story in that grandparent scam scenario, or if it's an investment scam, you know, they'll say, oh, this is too good of opportunity to pass up. You got to invest now, right? They want you to move fast so you don't have time to think it through, talk to other people, and check out their story. Also, scammers will give you a specific way to pay or send money. So really be on the lookout. If they're saying you need to send money through a gift card, wire transfer, a cryptocurrency, or cash, be very wary. Those are signs of the scam. A legitimate business is not going to tell you to pay in those ways. A legitimate government agency is not going to have you send cash in a box or gold bars or something like that. So be mindful of how they're asking you to pay, because a lot of times that is a red flag. That's a scam.
Yeah, and I guess the simple thing is, if it's too...
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Too good to be true. It's too good to be true most of the time.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially with those investment scams. You know, there is no surefire way in investing. So if you're hearing that this is, you know, a lock, that's a scam.
Appreciate the insight. You can always go to FTC to get more information, Federal Trade Commission, and Sammy Noctegal. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard, and we're going live to Bradenton, Florida. Want to get an update after Hurricane Milton, and before that, had to deal with Hurricane Helene. Joining us is the executive director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau, our friend Elliot Falcione. Elliot, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you, sir?
Good. I played a little Leonard Skinner music for this segment for a reason. So I'm not going to steal your thunder. Tell us why.
Well, as they would say, turn it up. November 15th, we go on sale today Leonard Skinner will perform at our Bradenton Area Convention Center. And then Marcus King will open up the show. Really want to thank Rich Angler. He worked tirelessly last week to pull this off, to be able to announce on Friday for a concert November 15th is very unusual.
And the reason is you're trying to help with hurricane relief.
Absolutely. On the barrier islands from the storms Helene and then Milton, a lot of our hospitality workers that have served us for decades haven't been working. Now the water's starting to turn on. The beaches are open. Manatee Beach, Coquina Beach. We have about 12 restaurants opening, but there's still some properties. Larry, you've been to it, the Sandbar, the Beach House, Beach Bistro. They're still working hard to get their restaurants reopened. So this concert is a way to raise some monies, and 100% of the net proceeds will go to those workers. And we're working with the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association to quickly be able to turn those revenues into the pockets of the employees.
And for those who don't know, the eye of the storm went right over Sarasota, Bradenton, and you literally experienced that yourself.
Yeah, it was really eerie being once you're inside the eye of the hurricane. It was so surreal. The air didn't move for 45 minutes. So you got one initial hit. I think we peaked out at 103 miles per hour. Then you went into the eye and it was quiet for about 40, 45 minutes. And then once you realized you were in the eye, you knew you were going to get the tail end. So we experienced about a 40-minute additional wind impact, not as strong as the first one. But you know what? Those days are behind us. Larry, the progress out on the barrier islands has been unprecedented, getting it cleaned up. There's still a long ways to go with just debris along the long Gulf Drive, but I'm excited to what every week is going to present us. And, of course, in a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate November 15th with Leonard Skinner.
And I know that a lot of people are probably sitting back and wondering who frequent the area in the wintertime after the holidays, and certainly the connection here with our relationship with the Pirates spring training. So what are you recommending for people to do?
Well, hang in there. You know, when we get to Thanksgiving, a majority of the cleanup should be complete. We're hoping that some of the restaurants on the beaches will be reopened by no later than early December. So I would tell Pittsburghers, from an honest Pittsburgher, is if you've planned to come down and you've booked your reservations this winter, keep those reservations. Support the Bradenton area. I just met with a lot of the airlines last week in Green Bay, Wisconsin, of all places, and they are maintaining those nonstop flights. Allegiant Airlines and Southwest Airlines, Pittsburgh nonstop to Sarasota Bradenton Airport. And for those who go to the Pirate Games, it's only 15 minutes from Lecom Park. So we're excited to host Pittsburghers back here in the wintertime and even around the holidays. And we'll be ready for you. It's going to be really, really important to get the economy going on the barrier islands and get back to normalcy.
And that, for you, is really the best way for us to help, is to maintain those relationships. Speaking of the ballpark, Dennis Dupre, who works with the organization, has been there forever, visited. So the ballparks and the facilities for the Pirates spring training, which is only a few months away, will be ready to go?
Oh, 100%. There's a little bit of outfield wall damage at Lecom Park. And then Pirate City, that famous batter's eye, that huge, I guess, gosh, Larry, it's 20, 25 feet tall. Back in the day, Willie Stargell used to hit home runs over that, was damaged. They'll be ready to roll. They're going to have ball players on the field in the month of November during instructional league, and there's some camps there. So, the Pirates, first-class organization, they're going to get those ballparks ready. I did want to mention that you could go to purchase tickets or make a donation at the centerami.org/concerts and to make a donation or buy tickets if anybody wants to come down for November 15th. Tickets will sell out fast. The venue seats 3,800, so it's going to be a nice, intimate environment.
Is there any chance that you may sing and open up the concert?
Well, I tried, but they couldn't afford me. So we went with Marcus King opening up with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
All right, Elliot, appreciate your hard work and keeping us informed and the connections. And I know a lot of people will help support what's going on for the love of the game. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Larry. Have a great day.
Elliot Falcioni, Executive Director of the Bradenton Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. This is the Big K Morning Show. Happy Monday. I'm Larry Richard. And every Monday at this time, we check in with Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
You know, I never asked you how you got into this particular work. I mean, why do you care about all these retirees?
Well, you probably remember catalog store, Montgomery Ward's. Yeah, so my dad had a Montgomery Ward's catalog store.
Really?
Yes, in Butler, New Jersey. And I can remember my parents doing really well, this is in the early 80s. I would work at my dad's store, and I can remember at the time things were really good. There was a very popular doll being sold called the Cabbage Patch doll, which everybody remembers.
I remember.
And there'd be lines out the door.
I remember.
Christmas. My dad's catalog store, I mean, there'd be a line wrapped around, you know, the side of the building. But I can remember the day that my dad got a call from a friend of his, and he said, Bob, he said, have you watched the news today? And my dad said, no, why? What's going on? He says, well, you should turn it on. My dad turned it on and found out that Montgomery Ward's was filing for bankruptcy, and they were going to be closing a lot of the catalog stores. This was the day of corporate raiders, and Montgomery Ward's was one of those that kind of got raided and taken over, and they wound up closing everything down. But it changed my parents' life overnight. And so, as a young kid, I can remember being, in bed at night and hearing all the arguments about the money struggles and everything else. And so it impacted me hearing those arguments at night. And so I thought, if I could learn about money and understand how it works, maybe I could help my parents. And then it turned into, well, maybe I can help other people. And then I came here to Pittsburgh to go to school at Robert Morris. I thought I was going to head back home to New Jersey where I grew up.
We snagged you.
Yeah. I thought I was going to go to work on Wall Street. Instead, I went to work for a big firm here in Pittsburgh. And 1999, I went to work. And first day on the job, somebody says to me, hey, kid, you're going to be answering the phones. And I said, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing. I had just passed my financial exam, and I thought to myself, wow, I passed my financial exam, and I'm going to be answering the phones. But I was answering the phones at a tough time because the tech bubble had bursted, and of course, everybody was losing money. So I was taking a lot of phone calls from a lot of panicked investors. I want to get out of the market. Get me out today. I can't be in here anymore. I didn't know what to tell these people. I just passed my exam. Just because you passed your exam doesn't mean you're ready to start advising. Kind of like just because you passed your medical boards doesn't mean you should start doing heart surgery. There's a fellowship that you need to do and things that, and I had the opportunity to sit with these financial advisors that have been in the business for 25, 30 years. I would hear them tell people things like, make sure you have a well-diversified portfolio in different sectors. And as you get older, what we'll do is we'll remove some of that risk that you have with stocks and we'll put the money into bonds. And I just kept seeing people's portfolios go down. I never saw a positive return in my first year. But what changed my life is I took a call from a guy by the name of Sam. I'll never forget it. He called up. He says, I needed to get out of the stock market. I cannot afford to lose another dime because I need this money to live off of. So I go to his financial advisor. I explain the situation. And his advisor said to me, Brian, I need you to get back on the phone with him and let him know everything's going to be fine. And just remind him to not worry about anything. He's in it for the long haul. So as a good employee, I went back to the phone and I said exactly that. And what this gentleman said to me next is why I'm so passionate about protecting people's money. He said, Brian, I'm 75 years old. How much damn long haul does this guy think I've got left? Which is 100% true.
Right.
And I said, Sam, what was the purpose of this money? He says, Brian, I needed it for income and I can't afford to lose it anymore. And that conversation changed my life, Larry.
Every individual's story is unique.
Yes.
To your point,
yeah.
I remember a neighbor worked for a hardware store for almost 50 years.
Yep.
And they went under. He didn't have any money.
That's right.
Through the company. So you got to make your own game plan. Do it with Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors. Brian, a really powerful story, and appreciate you sharing that.
And Larry, I'll say this. When you've won the game, you don't need to keep playing it anymore.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Coming up right after the news with Pat Septak, we're going to check in with our resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister. Also in the next hour, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Want to get his reflections on the Tree of Life remembrance yesterday, and also drop some big news in a positive way here on Friday about a collective $600 million investment into reimagining downtown Pittsburgh, which came as welcome news to a lot of people as we try to reimagine what the future of the city is going to be. And also, we could ask him about the election. I'm sure he has a lot to say. And you just heard Donald Trump in Madison Square Garden, and you also have Kamala Harris in Philadelphia. Bill Clinton's coming to Westmoreland County tomorrow, and with details on the campaign, CBS Jared Hill.
Both candidates have deviated from the traditional swing states in these days before the election. But former President Trump's message yesterday and his focus was familiar here in New York's Madison Square Garden, although some of the ramped up rhetoric at the event is getting criticism from folks across the political spectrum.
In a homecoming for former President Donald Trump, the New York native rallying thousands Sunday at Madison Square Garden.
We will have the strongest economy, the most secure borders, the safest cities, the most powerful military.
The crowd welcomed a rare appearance from Trump's wife, Melania. But this morning, there's bipartisan fallout over a comedian's racially charged jokes that opened Trump's rally.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah, I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Republican Florida Senator Rick Scott wrote on X, "It's not funny and it's not true." Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz pushed back during a Twitch live stream with New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
There are hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans across in battleground states that need to send them a message on this.
The Trump campaign says the jokes were not reviewed beforehand and they do not reflect the former president's views, as both campaigns work to win over Latino voters.
How are you doing?
In Philadelphia, Vice President Kamala Harris visited a black barber shop and church and a Puerto Rican restaurant on a blitz through the crucial battleground.
We have an opportunity before us to turn the page on the fear and the divisiveness that have characterized our politics for a decade because of Donald Trump.
Today, Harris campaigns in Michigan while Trump stumps in Georgia.
And tomorrow night, Vice President Harris is going to be taking her final message to the nation's capital with a speech at the same space that former President Trump spoke on January 6th of 2021. All of this as polls are showing the race neck and neck for these candidates, even at this point.
So here we go, a week and a day until Election Day next Tuesday. 7:55 at KDKA. Happy Monday. And each and every Monday through our political season, we've leaned on Lenny McAllister, a resident host who wears many hats in the field of education for his day job, but has a lot of experience in radio and talk, and political talk in particular. So the candidates ramping it up, Lenny, over the weekend. Thank you for being here.
Always enjoy being here with you, Larry.
Kamala Harris had Beyonce in Texas. She was in Philly last night. Donald Trump sold out Madison Square Garden, packed to the rafters, pulling out all the stops.
Yeah.
Had Robert Kennedy there. Had Hulk Hogan there. had his wife there.
Which was a surprise. Even being in New York City is a surprise. If you think about it, what we saw this past weekend was like the confluence of modern politicking in America. You had Kamala Harris in Eastern Pennsylvania talking to a significant voting bloc in Hispanic voters. You also had Donald Trump in New York City, which you would say New York's not swinging Republican, except for the fact that when you campaign nationally, you want those clips, you want those crowds, you want that energy. You can take all that footage from yesterday, and by Tuesday, if not today, you will see ads from the footage in Madison Square Garden to basically get the idea across to Americans from here to Montana that the energy momentum is going Trump's way.
Is there anybody that's going to be changed in their opinion or mind or most importantly their vote by any of this in the next 8 days?
I think there's 50,000 voters per state that can determine 50 to 100,000 voters per state that will determine the election. And they're still speaking to those voters. Now, if you consider that small percentage versus an electorate per state, it's a very small percentage. But if you look at the polls, Larry, it's basically the last polls that came out were dead even, 50-50, 49-49, somewhere in there. So, yeah, nobody's talking to the other side. They're really trying to say, okay, who really is the movable middle? It's shrinking, but who is it? And honestly, at this point, it's a moving target. So in some regards, both sides are trying to figure out who is the movable middle. You have to identify them, then you have to convince them, and you got to do it within 8 days.
It's a really, I'm guessing, very small pool, but still, when the race is this close, significant.
It definitely is. And on top of that, the polling suggests that it's the economy. It's polling that it's also immigration. It's polling less on tone and tenor. So it's like, okay, how do I craft a message in a very short period of time to a very small segment of people that I have to go find in a race where you have a candidate in Donald Trump that oftentimes doesn't poll all the way up to what his actual voting block is. We saw this in 16. We saw this in 20. There's a small percentage of Americans that will not tell you they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Then they'll go vote for Donald Trump, and you'll see it in the exit polls. The Harris people are trying to find those voters desperately and try to convince them within a week.
He lost the popular vote the last two elections.
Yes.
Yet won the Electoral College in 2016, much to many surprise. Then claims he won 2020. You could argue that forever. It doesn't matter at this point in terms of what happens this year, except that if he doesn't win, there'll be claims that it was somehow, you know, tilted, even though there has been so much scrutiny and so much effort to try to make sure this election is transparent and that there won't be that shadow of a doubt.
We will see lawsuits regardless of who quote unquote wins Tuesday night. And it's really not going to be Tuesday night, as you well know. We're probably talking about Wednesday or Thursday based on what's going to come out of Arizona and a few other of these swing states. So regardless of who ends up being declared the winner, you're going to have challenges. If it ends up being Kamala Harris, you're going to have more challenges from the Republicans.
I got a question for you. So January 6th, four years ago, it was Mike Pence, and
yep,
that's the role of the vice president to be that last word to, you know, at that point, the vote is official.
Yes.
You have all the elected officials of our federal government in one place to make that determination. Kamala Harris is the vice president.
Yeah.
She will be that person.
Yes.
I just think that's rather extraordinary.
And we've had it,
but not unprecedented.
It's not unprecedented. And it's going to be interesting because if she loses, you best believe she's going to give one heck of a speech before she validates the vote. If she wins, there's going to be some type of complaint that it's crooked. And the reason why you know it's crooked is because she's validating her own election to become president of the United States. Either way, January 6th hopefully won't be as historic as it was 4 years ago. But you best believe there's going to be a lot of wrestling up because she's going to be that one in that role this time.
So a week from tomorrow,
Yes.
The election takes place, but it's not going to be over until that day in January. And even then, it'll be scrutinized beyond that.
Yes. And well, if it's finally, quote unquote, written in stone on January 6th, it's more bluster. But up until then, I mean, you're going to hear about people, and we saw this 4 years ago, pressuring state legislatures. I mean, again, the Speaker of the House of the Pennsylvania General Assembly was part of the whole investigation afterwards. You heard the audio tapes. You saw that speaker's name imprint a lot. We, of course, know about what happened in Georgia as well. From the middle of November through January, which is going to cover, obviously, the holiday season, you may still see an awful lot of consternation from people about how this election goes down. And if it ends up being Harris, we're going to go through another 2 to 4 years of that's not my president, that's not my president, which, again, I've brought this up from a national sovereignty perspective. If half your country does not respect who's in the Oval Office, you make the country more vulnerable from everything from domestic terrorism to international threats abroad. We have to be mindful of that, too.
But there's no way to stop it, because either candidate wins, you're going to have that. Because
yes,
the country split almost straight down the middle.
And it's been this bad for a while, and this level of anxiety has not been like this since the 1960s. And if you go back prior to that, I mean, you're starting to go back into the 1800s. And we're at a very dangerous point of time where whoever wins has to try to unify this country. And let's just be honest, neither one of these candidates have given a very cogent message to reunify this country. Joe Biden talked that way and then really wasn't successful with it. Obama did it and then had the meeting with the Republicans in 2009 and said, hey, listen, I won, which immediately divided people. Donald Trump has never done it well and doesn't even intend to do it well. And Kamala Harris has not succeeded at that yet and might not succeed at that. So we need leadership that's going to reunify all this in some sort of way starting in 2025.
More to come, and Governor Josh Shapiro right after the news at 8:30. Mondays in our 8 o'clock hour, we're joined by Lenny McAllister, our resident political analyst. What do we do after the election, Lenny? After we go through whatever the process is, whoever's election, what the hell do we talk about every day, every minute, every hour?
Oh, well, first of all, if Donald Trump becomes president, let's not act like there wasn't a whole bunch of stuff to talk about every single day of his presidency, whether it was the meeting with Putin or, you know,
daily tweets at 5 a.m.
Tweets. I still talk about me drinking my daily covfefe because of his tweet about the covfefe. So, I mean, there's so many things that will come up if he's president. And let's just be honest, even if he's not, he's not getting off this platform right away, and he's back on Twitter now, and he has Truth Social. You're going to hear from him and people that end up are his spokespeople for a second.
Elon Musk buys Twitter for $44 billion, and he has turned that into his personal platform.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Not only for politics, but for whatever, where he's posting pictures of himself all the time. You know, he's made this his, he's defending free speech, he says, by buying Twitter. Although people that don't agree with him, he's gotten rid of those people. So it's a little disingenuous for a man whose focus was on his inventions, like Tesla and other things. What's in it for him with the government? Obviously,
policy agendas, saving money. I mean, look at what ended up happening with the Washington Post, with the endorsement. They have been endorsing presidents forever. They're about to send out an endorsement of Kamala Harris, which, by the way, it's the Washington Post. It's not a shock that they're going to endorse somebody on the left more often than not. They shut down the endorsement. And again, you go back to who now owns the Washington Post. It goes all the way back to Jeff Bezos. And you start having this question now, Larry, of, okay, I believe in free market capitalism. I also believe in freedom of speech. And when you start getting to a point in time where people can buy private institutions that are in essence, they're a private company, but a public institution that we all count on to provide a value for the common good that can now be driven by one person's agenda, how does that impact society? You brought up Twitter, the artist formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, and then an unpronounceable letter almost. And then from there, you end up having this with the Washington Post. Where are we going as a society when social media drives a whole lot of what we do politically and public policy, and now big money is going back to having the oversized influence that we had back in the late 1800s, where people forget, you know, a few very rich people, including Andrew Carnegie here in Pittsburgh, were determining the presidency and other huge political offices. You're seeing that with big money in politics now. Is that what we really want? And we were talking off the break during the break in regards to the rise of Donald Trump. This is how Trump got here, because people were sick of career politicians cleaving to big money and getting their way. They said, we need to break the system up. And Donald Trump, who was an outsider, a reality TV host, ended up breaking up that system. Now he's part of it now. But people now have to ask, we're really going in a direction where we're still not having our voices really heard, and we're not having government really be responsive to the collective of Americans. Where do we really go from here?
But with the division of the country, which is reflected in Washington, you can't just with a wand fix everything in a day and say you're going to make it right. You need cooperation, and we haven't had a lot of bipartisan cooperation in a long
time. But you
can
fix it with a wand with a good leader. I will go back to, and a lot of people don't like Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan's communicative style started making people tone down some of the rhetoric on both sides. And he then had time to address the Soviet Union, to address the economy, to get our allies on track. And then by the time he got to his second term, our economy's humming again, the Soviet Union starting to be dismantled, and the threat of nuclear war started coming down. Sometimes it's not what you do with policies immediately, it's what you do with tone immediately. And it goes back to what I said in the previous segment. Harris is not really succeeding at that, and Trump doesn't want to succeed at that.
So what's going to change?
It might have to be from the top up. It might have to be from us forcing them to, hey, look, enough's enough. You're going to get us hurt, or you're going to break something you can't fix. I mean, the bottom line is we have the Middle East on fire right now. And if Donald Trump gets into the White House, there's going to be a full-throated support of Israel in a way that may not be beneficial to getting a ceasefire eventually and tamping down tensions. Same thing with Kamala Harris. Some of the social issues domestically may get ramped up so much that people that oppose some of those social issues may never get back on track. It might be the bottom up that says, listen, we want an America that works for more people. You all are going to have to calm it down. That might come from how we end up having the balance in the House of Representatives. That might come from how we have the balance in the Senate that makes that president have to moderate.
That said, we're just so close of tipping that power, too, in the Senate,
yep,
which is so critical. When is somebody going to reach across the aisle and say, all right, let's work together?
When it's beneficial to do it on a big stage. They do it on smaller items, but when it's beneficial for somebody to say, I'm going to lose some political cachet and I don't care. I'd rather have somebody name a bridge after me than you know my name on social media. Can I be popular or historic? I always ask people to lean towards being historic. That is something that outlives who you are in the moment and is something that's going to benefit people you'll never meet 75 years down the road. There's not enough people that are focused on that. They're more focused on, can I raise more money and can I get more likes?
What do you say to people who feel like both sides aren't going to pay attention to their real needs? Nobody's going to fix things.
I would say that, one, we've always had these instances in America where Americans felt that way, and it did get resolved. It got resolved through a lot of hard work, and it did get resolved eventually through leaders that they support that are being more altruistic. But again, it's the electorate that puts these people in positions of power. It's the electorate that is responding to either their bullying from these pulpits or their leadership that's altruistic. They're putting these people in the power. They're going to have to start moderating that. And then ideally, we will have politically astute leaders that will respond to that in kind. We've had it throughout American history in the most unlikely of places. I genuinely believe, Larry, that it will happen again.
Lenny McAllister with us on the Big K Morning Show. Stick around. We've got Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro coming right after the news at the bottom of this hour. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and let's get right to the Governor of Pennsylvania. Josh Shapiro is with us. Governor, good morning. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great to be with you.
Coming off yesterday, I want to start with the remembrance that took place here, the 1027 Healing Partnership with the 6 years since the Tree of Life massacre. And I know this touches you very deeply, but since then, anti-Semitism, as you're acutely aware, has ramped up. Where do we begin to try to stem this tide?
Well, first and foremost, we should always remember Joyce and Richard, Rose, Jerry, Cecil, David, Bernice, Sylvan, Daniel, Melvin, and Irving, and their memories should always be a blessing for all. And I think they should cause all of us to come together and do the hard work necessary to try and stamp out hate in our communities. I think the 1027 Healing Project, I've had the privilege to work with them a bit, they're doing that important work. I think the fact that we are rebuilding the Tree of Life is not just a place of worship, but also a place of education to combat anti-Semitism and other forms of hatred and bigotry is going to be an important piece of that. There's no one thing that is going to address anti-Semitism or hatred or bigotry. I think it's on all of us to do this hard work necessary to try and understand people better, to try and push those who would spew hate aside, not give them these large platforms in our communities. And I think we owe it to those who perished in the deadliest act of anti-Semitism in our nation's history to do this work. I try and do that every day as governor. There are others doing that work every day, and I think we're better for it. But make no mistake, there's real serious anti-Semitism out there, and the best way to combat it is by all of us bringing our voices together and standing up for one another.
Appreciate that. Obviously, a very emotional day for us here in Pittsburgh in particular. That said, speaking of Pittsburgh, Friday, you brought some really good news with this collective of a $600 million plan to revitalize downtown Pittsburgh. I think that surprised a lot of people, maybe, that, hey, people are paying attention to the issues that are in front of us.
Yeah, look, my team and I have been working our tails off on this for months, as have local leaders, both in the business community and on the governmental side. Let me just state this to start. A healthy downtown is vital to having a healthy and successful Pennsylvania, meaning we need Pittsburgh to succeed if we want to reach our full potential in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And I think anyone who looks at it knows that downtown has been struggling. And so when some of the leaders came to me months ago and asked for, you know, some state money to help, I said, look, the state will be there, but we need a comprehensive plan, one that brings everybody in, where the private sector and the public sector are all rowing in the same direction, where we all share the same vision. So I wanted to use the Commonwealth's resources to be a catalyst for this kind of change. And, you know, frankly, there's a playbook here that we pulled from a little bit that, you know, Jim Rohr led back the end of the, you know, in the 1980s, 1990s to begin the renaissance in Pittsburgh that, you know, we've been living through and benefiting from. It's time for another big shot in the arm like that. And so as a result of this collaboration of everybody working together, I mean, for example, I was on the phone asking private sector leaders for money for this effort to kick in, because I think it was so important that we have skin in the game, that everybody does. The Commonwealth itself, we're going to invest $62 million, but we're going to catalyze nearly $600 million to help spur on the type of development and growth that we need downtown. It's going to allow us to build mixed-use housing. It's going to allow us to refurbish our parks and public spaces like Point State Park. We're going to focus on cleaner, safer, vibrant neighborhoods that is going to allow people from outside Pittsburgh to want to come downtown for events, for dinner, go to the bar, whatever it is, cultural events. But it's also going to say to others in other states, hey, Pittsburgh is a place where you want to be. We're also bringing in the arts and culture community, because I think to have a vibrant community, a vibrant downtown, the arts and culture community has to be engaged. So we're investing there as well. So we're seeing a state investment that's catalyzing this private investment. The city of Pittsburgh has committed about $22 million through their Urban Redevelopment Authority. And everybody's rowing in the same direction and working together. And listen, Larry, I mean, I think, you know, because you cover this stuff, you follow this stuff, you've seen examples where people aren't on the same page, where they're not rowing in the same direction. Here in Pittsburgh, we are all moving in the same direction. I'm proud of the role that we played in pulling people together and excited for the future of downtown. We got a lot of work to do, and I'm going to be carefully monitoring this and staying on top of it and being super engaged in the process and feel really good about where things are headed.
We're with Governor John Shapiro. That said, the elephant in the room is a week from tomorrow. This country, sharply divided down the middle, will elect the next president. You've been very vocal in your support for Kamala Harris. And is there really enough people to change their minds? You think enough people are set in their ways now that they're not going to change their vote in the next week? Or do you?
Yeah, look, obviously the vast majority of people have made up their minds. And by the way, I think they just want it to be over so they don't see the ads and, you know, get the messages. But there are still some folks, you know, who are just kind of tuning in, who will decide late. You know, they're busy with their own lives, take care of their kids, their families, you know, dealing with issues with their work, whatever the case may be. And I think it's important that we run through the finish line here and make sure those who haven't yet made up their mind see the clear contrast in this race, understand the stark differences between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And I think if you're a Pennsylvania voter and you haven't made up your mind, I'd encourage you to, you know, focus in and understand that you not only have a vote because you're a Pennsylvanian, you really have an outsized role in this election. Of course, Pennsylvania is, you know, really the swingiest of all swing states. And so as Pennsylvania goes, I think this is maybe the one thing Donald Trump and Kamala Harris agree on. As Pennsylvania goes, likely so goes the nation when determining who the next president is. And so I just encourage everybody to do your research, think through the issues, but make sure that you cast your ballot and that your voice is heard and strengthens our democracy.
Is the economy the number one issue, in your opinion?
I think it's the top thing I hear about from folks, but understand, you know, Pennsylvanians can walk and chew gum at the same time, meaning they care about the economy. They can also care about reproductive freedom. They can also care about the fate of our democracy. And I think what you see, and this is what I hear from folks, I think the polling bears this out. The economy is critically important. Freedom, like the right for women to make decisions over their own bodies, critically important. Immigration is an issue on people's minds. And so, yeah, those are the issues that people are talking to me about. And those are the issues that seem to be resonating with voters. And I think there's a clear contrast on all those things between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Kamala Harris wants to cut taxes for small businesses and for the middle class. Actually, Donald Trump's economic policy would raise costs on small businesses and the middle class. Kamala Harris wants to strengthen our healthcare system. Donald Trump wants to do away with the Affordable Care Act. I mean, you couldn't have a clearer contrast. By the way, 1.2 million Pennsylvanians get their health care from the Affordable Care Act. I mean, Donald Trump is literally running on a platform of denying 1.2 million Pennsylvanians access to their health care and hasn't come up with an alternative plan, at least not one that I'm aware of. I mean, there's some really stark contrast when it comes to these economic issues, these so-called, you know, pocketbook issues. And I just want to encourage voters to do their research, look at it, and think about who's going to make their lives better in that space. Obviously, you know my opinion on that. I think it's Kamala Harris. But for those who haven't made up their minds yet, I think those issues are really important to spend some time digging in on.
Governor Josh Shapiro, appreciate the time today, sir. Thank you.
Hey, great to be with you, Larry. Have a great day.
Getting ready to wrap up our 8 o'clock hour with our in-studio political analyst, Lenny McAllister. By the way, you can hear him Sunday afternoons.
Indeed.
Yeah. And how'd it go yesterday?
Went well. I think there's a lot of apprehension in regards to the stuff that we've been talking about. Okay, what happens on Tuesday? What happens on Wednesday? What happens 2 weeks after Tuesday? What happens when we have the new president? What's that going to feel like, too?
I think there's a percentage of people that would like it to be over. And can we find a way to mend some bridges? But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, at least for the foreseeable future.
You know what might be interesting? I just thought about this. That voter that you just mentioned, Larry, would vote for Kamala Harris with the same...
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Rhetoric that they voted for Joe Biden with. They'll say, listen, it'll be loud, it'll be nasty for about 6 months, and then we'll have some calm. Whereas if I vote for Donald Trump, I'm probably going to get 4 years of this, and I can't do this anymore. I mean, that's part of the reason why Biden won. Some of those voters made that determination, and if they make the same type of analysis, they're going to vote for Harris. They're going to deal with all the anger and loudness for 90 to 120 days, and then hope that things get back to quote-unquote normal.
For you, obviously, this is you have to walk a line, too.
Yeah.
Because you're a Republican.
Yep.
And you speak to the Republicans in different ways. You're going to do, what, an event for Dave McCormick coming up?
I will be doing an education-centric event on Thursday night in Harrisburg. I will be meeting with, in a private meeting, with Dave McCormick and U.S. Senator Tim Scott, who I've known and interacted with over the years since 2010. I'll be seeing him this week as well. So to your point, it's speaking as a Republican, but it's also, I'm an African American that grew up in Penn Hills. That's never going away. And it's funny because those different aspects of who I am are oftentimes the different aspects of Americans that feel like they're alienated from politics. I try in my role to walk that fine line of trying to pull them all together and say there's a way of us all getting ahead together as Americans.
We're going to talk to you a couple of days next week.
Yes, we will.
Before and after, in between. As always, though, Lenny, we appreciate your time and input.
Larry, I appreciate being with you as always. God bless you and God bless you all out there.
You too. Lenny McAllister in the Big K Morning Show. Monday Night Football, live from Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers host the New York Giants. And joining us is our Odyssey Sports Director, Jeff Hathorn, via video. You can see Jeff on the radio, kdkradio.com. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just working on a story on about Dexter Lawrence. That's a name that you hopefully won't hear tonight because he is a beast and is really catalyst for that Giants defense.
Yeah, and this is one of those games where on paper people are saying, well, the Steelers should win, and thanks to the Cleveland Browns upsetting, and that was a big upset, over the streaking Ravens, who had a five-game win streak broken by the Browns, who went into that game at 1-6. That sets up the Steelers to take sole possession of first place in the AFC North, as you know, and then go into a bye week to get healthy.
It's amazing how much better the Browns are without Watson. You know, Deshaun Watson is out. Now the Browns have energy. They have life. Jameis Winston had a good game. Let's hope they cool that roll a couple of weeks from now. But, yeah, that was a good win for the Browns, and I couldn't be more shocked at that outcome, because even when the Ravens came back to take the lead late, you thought, okay, they're going to win this game. And Cleveland, to their credit, found a way. Maybe they're going to rally around Jameis Winston and be a real hassle in the second half of the season.
And, oh, by the way, the Bengals lost, too, so it's kind of teed up. But how about the Steelers being on national TV primetime nights three times in 23 days?
Yeah, it tells you a little about the brand, because these matchups aren't the greatest. I mean, you got New York involved with two of them, but it's two New York teams that are struggling. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised you have this kind of role this much. I'm anxious for a 1 o'clock game. I hope that there's no way that they're going to move the starting time of the Washington game coming up in a couple of weeks, because they kind of miss seeing daylight and Steelers at the same time.
That's a great point. How about Washington's Hail Mary miracle win over Chicago yesterday? I was kind of glad, though, because I want the Commanders to feel good about themselves, but then, you know, not have to come back after a loss, so to speak. But that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah. And, Larry, I was watching it live, and when it happened, I yelled out. And Leslie Lee's like, what? What's wrong? No, you got to see what just happened in this game. That was something.
Yeah, it was the play of the weekend. That said, Russell Wilson will start at quarterback, and surprisingly, Justin Fields has a bit of a hammy issue. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's something we didn't really notice. So that's kind of new to us. We've been watching practices, so that's something that's new to us. Not sure where that came from, but other than that, I mean, it's a fairly healthy team. They're not going to have Roman Wilson. They're not going to have Herbig, which they kind of knew, and Frazier, which everybody kind of knew, but they had some guys that were able to work back, and most importantly in the secondary, where Dante Jackson coming out of the game last week was a big question mark, but he's good to go this week.
Yeah, they get a win tonight. They get an opportunity to rest up a little bit, get healthy second half of the season. If you're at 6-2, you're a top tier team, you know, regardless of what anybody says.
And Larry, really, because of the way the schedule works and all the matchups in the division coming in the second half of the season, if you drew it out to where the Steelers were going to have a successful season, 6-2 is about where you drew it. Giving yourself some room in that second half just in case you have some struggles against some better opponents. I mean, Kansas City's mixed with all the six division games that you have. So, and those are always tough. I don't care what the Browns record is or Bengals record. When you go on the road in this division, as we've seen with Cincinnati over the last couple of years, and, you know, occasionally we've seen with Cleveland, it can be a challenge.
So guess who's going to watch the game with the Manning brothers? Bill Carr. They've invited to join them and their show. And before you go, you got to talk about Pitt, Penn State, 7-0, had a big win on the road. Had to struggle losing her quarterback, and then guy stepped right up behind him, and that was a big win for them. And how about Ohio State at Penn State this weekend? And Pitt, of course, 7-0, headed to Dallas to play SMU.
Yeah, they're two huge matchups. I mean, the Ohio State, Penn State, they're both, the teams are ranked higher, but both are, all four are ranked opponents, and all four are big for their division. I mean, for Ohio State, you can't afford to lose two games and still want to be in this playoff and not be on the fringe. For Penn State, it's keeping this role going. They have found ways to win. It was a big win for them. You mentioned losing the quarterback, and they had a big comeback win at USC. For Pitt, I mean, man, what a dominant performance against Syracuse. Now you go to a SMU team that could have lost overtime. Duke went for two, and they didn't get it. SMU just found a way to win. This is – I'm really anxious. I mean, obviously, you don't know much about SMU. You go down to Dallas, this is going to be a big game. I'm really excited to see what Pitt does in this scenario. And then if you get this one, boy, that sets you up to be in really good position. You got Virginia and Clemson out the regular season home schedule.
No shortage of topics and stories for you, Jeff. And outside of football, game three of the World Series in New York after Dodgers took two from the Yanks. And then what's wrong with the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Well, tomorrow night won't even be about the Penguins. It'll be Marc-Andre Fleury's probable last visit to Pittsburgh. I mean, how special is Marc-Andre? So that's going to be a special night, even regardless of some of the struggles the team has had. But, man, defensively, they are a mess right now. And they've got to figure that out real quick, because as we saw last year, they blew some games early last year, and that kept them out of the playoffs. Even when they got hot, they looked back at, man, look at these games in October we screwed up on. And they've had some opportunities for some here in October, and they're not finishing. And they're burying themselves early in a really good division.
Jeff, always appreciate your input and insight. Thank you, partner.
Thanks, Larry.
Enjoy the game.
Yeah. See you there.
We'll see you over at Acrisure. Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey Sports Director. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. Crystal clear digital audio. And that's anywhere you go around the country. We have a lot of people from Pittsburgh living out of town or traveling, and they love to keep up with what's going on here. That's a great way to do it. Free app, AUDACY. That's Odyssey. You know, every year, well, last year, Marty Griffin kept saying to me, you know, you got to do an annual checkup, see your doctor. See, you know, a lot of people are hesitant, particularly men. Be honest. He's right. So I finally did, and you go through an annual checkup. It's almost like if you took your car to even though there was nothing really visibly wrong with it, you figure if you take it to a mechanic, they're going to find something that's wrong, right? It's going to cost you money or whatever. But in it, there he is. I have to thank Marty for that. But in the meantime, one of the things the doctor said is, you know, you need to get shingles shots. And I know people kind of know what shingles is, but I thought I'd share with you, with Dr. John LaPook from CBS. Apparently, there is a breakthrough in this shingles story.
Dr. Elizabeth Cohn spent more than 30 years doing eye surgery.
It was very gratifying to take someone who can't see and help them to see.
But in 2008, shingles derailed her career. The illness comes when the chickenpox virus reactivates, causing a rash and nerve pain. Shingles of the eye can cause scarring and vision loss. That's what happened to Dr. Cohn, forcing her to stop operating.
So this is an infection with shingles?
Yes.
And it's supposed to be clear?
Right.
Dr. Cohn, a professor at NYU Langone Health, where I work and her husband is dean, had an idea. Treat shingles of the eye with an antiviral drug for a year rather than the usual 7 to 10 days. Last weekend, she presented the results.
When you saw these results, what was your reaction?
Phew.
Patients receiving placebo had a 44% risk of developing new or worsening eye disease over the next 18 months. With low-dose daily valacyclovir, or Valtrex, that risk was 22% lower at 12 months and became 26% lower at 18 months.
Are you concerned that this did not reach statistical significance for the primary endpoint at 12 months, but it did at 18 months?
I'm really not concerned about that. It can take a long time to kind of get those nerves back to a healthy point.
Dr. Christopher Starr is an eye surgeon who did not take part in the study.
This will change the way I practice from here on out.
I'm hoping that we help a lot of people. That is my ultimate hope.
The study is awaiting peer review and publication. There's a vaccine for shingles that's more than 90% effective, but only about a third of eligible adults get it. Dr. John LaPook, CBS News, New York.
So, yeah, I know a lot of people, if you heard what he said, that shot that my doctor suggested you should get is 90% effective. Why wouldn't you do it? But I know some people are reluctant, especially now, because you're encouraged to get your seasonal flu shot and a booster for COVID. But for those that don't know, shingles is a viral infection. It causes a painful rash, and this is something that presents also in that story in people's eyes. And the treatment is antivirals and nerve pain medications, but apparently you can avoid that 90% of the time. But will you? And in between 10 until 2, it's Marty Griffin. He's in the building. And every Monday at this time, we check in from Next Take Pittsburgh. This is the great overnight show that for 4 hours, you get to hear University of Pittsburgh students talk about issues and what is ever on their mind. Like Colin Ferguson, who joins us via video. You can see him on the radio at kdkradio.com. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I see you're sporting your Pitt football hat.
I am, yeah. How can you not right now?
7-0 and somewhere to go, like Dallas, Texas this weekend against SMU. Pitt climbing to 18th on the national polls, and right behind them at 20th is SMU. Were you at the game Thursday?
I was, yeah. That was, I think that was the best game that I've seen them play all season. They have been pretty lights out all year long, but that was, I mean, just from a defensive standpoint, that was a masterclass from the defense. It was really, really just a great all-around game for the Panthers.
Boy, that's a good way to put it, a masterclass on defense in the first half. For those that don't know, Pitt had 3 pick sixes, which means an interception run back for a touchdown. The defense outscored the offense, and they ended up with 5 total interceptions. That was one heck of a performance.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, if you have Eli Holstein only needing to throw the ball 15 times and you can dominate your opponent by 28, that's a great offense, or that's a great outing just in general.
Are you sensing that excitement on campus? Because, you know, the volleyball team is still number one. You've got a great soccer team. You've got wrestling. You've got things are looking up at the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's looking fantastic out here right now. You definitely can. I think it is pretty funny. You know, last year we had this all-around frustration in regards to the football team being, you know, 3-9 and with all that successful. I mean, getting smite in Florida State and UNC. And now this year we're all frustrated that we're only ranked number 18 and we should be higher. So I think it's funny how we've kind of totally 180'd in just 1 year.
Are students talking about the new hire, athletic director Alan Green?
Not as much as they should be. I got a chance to meet him last Wednesday. I'm very, very excited about the hire. I think that, you know, with the every college athletics right now, it's going to grow significantly harder in this evolving world without money. It's becoming significantly more about it's becoming a money thing now. You know, college athletics is becoming a lot more like a business. And so if you get somebody like Alan Green, who is very, very financially literate, somebody who really, really knows how to work NIL, work sponsors, I think that is a fantastic first stepping stone for Pitt. You know, we're going to see a lot more of a focus on those revenue-based sports, football and men's basketball, than we saw with Heather Lyk, but I think that that might wind up being a good thing.
Yeah, I got to meet him on Thursday. He was at the game. It was kind of a magical convergence because you had Larry Fitzgerald in the house, who will be officially inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in December, but he got special recognition. And what about ESPN and SportsCenter being on campus all day last Thursday?
Yeah, that was fun. That was really, really cool. I thought it was neat how everybody got to turn out. I was there for about a half hour. It's really neat to, you know, we're starting to get that national recognition. You know, there were rumors that College Game Day may go to Texas for the SMU game. They decided to go to Happy Valley instead. But it's pretty cool that, you know, we're starting to really get that attention be turned back towards Pitt for the first time in a couple of years.
And what's on your radar? So classes go through, what, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then you get a break?
Yeah. That, and then we'll have about a week, week and a half.
And then come back, close out this first semester. And you're a sophomore, right?
Yes, I am.
Gonna fly by, brother, let me tell you.
Oh, I hope it lasts a little longer than it has been so far.
There are ways to do that. It's a cheat code. We could talk about that sometime off the air. Meanwhile, election's a week away. Are they talking about that too on campus?
How could you not? I mean, it's as big as it is right now. We're starting to see, you know, there's less of those there's less of the voter registration tables now, and it's more, you know, people are out and about setting up tables in the quad, setting up tables in front of the cathedral, basically trying to advocate for one candidate or another. I've seen a man dressed up head to toe like Uncle Sam out there for the last 3 days. So, you know, it's as big of an election as this is, and with this being time for the majority of candidates,
well,
it is huge.
Always appreciate your input. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, thank you so much.
Colin Ferguson from our Next Take Pittsburgh at the University of Pittsburgh. Coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin next. Coming up, 10 until 2. Marty Griffin. Morning, Marty.
Brother, man, are you in the... I sent Larry a note yesterday. But you're right in the center of some pretty cool sports stuff, brother. Pitt and the Steelers, kind of wild, man.
Kind of fun. Yeah. Tonight, the Steelers win. They'll be in first place and have a bye week to heal up.
Yeah, but all that aside, the Pitt stuff, they haven't played great teams, but so what? This is kind of historic.
They did play the second-best quarterback in college football.
He was horrible.
He was terrible.
And I lived in Dallas for 10 years. I got to be honest, SMU, after the Eric Dickerson days, after the big scandal, when I was there, by the way, for that, they sucked for 20 years. And so now, and they have a small stadium. Did they add on to that? They had to have.
I didn't even look yet.
Maybe the most beautiful stadium with the most beautiful people in the world.
Really?
It's insane. By the way, in an area called Highland Park, Larry, which is makes Beverly Hills look like the hood. I'm just telling you.
I've never been.
It's gorgeous.
Kind of anxious to see because of what you've described.
No, I'm excited for you, and I'm really excited because you do a hell of a job in both.
Thank you.
But this has to add a little bit of caffeine to your whole spirit whenever you're covering these teams and they're winning like that.
Hey, after the game, when you win, it's just so much better all the way around for the fans, for the team, obviously, for you. You just feel good.
Hey, man, I want to say two things. So I got the COVID vaccine, the booster, and then I got the flu shot on Saturday morning.
Same day.
Yeah, together. Two things.
Did you feel it?
By Sunday morning, insane fever, insane chills, like outright shaking. And I lost a day of my life yesterday and woke up last night with the sheets soaked in sweat. Now, this is what troubles me. My sister, who has pancreatic cancer, says that's why I'm not going to get that vaccine. The only problem is, and she's right about the side effects and are horrible, but at some point, my man, if you're fighting cancer, you cannot get COVID. You know what I'm saying? It's a tough call, but it's from the COVID vaccine. I asked a couple doctors, and it proves my immune system is strong, by the way. That's what that proves, because it's fighting back. But it was hell.
So, how do you feel today?
90%. Let me say this about this Trump rally yesterday, and he's obscene comedians. And Patrick says to me, well, that's the kind of comedy that guy does. So when I have a wedding, do I choose the food for the wedding? Yeah, because that's the food I like. When I have a wedding, do I choose the band for the wedding? Yeah, because that's the music I like. When I have a wedding, do I choose the scripture for the wedding? Yeah, because that's the religion I like. Those are the people Trump likes, in the gutter, making disgusting comments about Kamala Harris, making disgusting comments about Puerto Ricans, and these idiots on X, which is, by the way, the darkest social media site ever. Jelly Roll, who I love, charming, charismatic, sends out a social media post last night. I am stopping X because it's the most negative, hate-filled social media site I've ever seen.
It is hate-filled.
You could put the cure for cancer on there and they would whine about, well, the needle hurt when they put it in my arm.
And
it's horrible.
Half of it's about Elon Musk putting his own face out there.
It's true. It's what's happened to it. They've ruined it with politics.
Talking about wanting to restore freedom of speech, but yet if you don't agree with them, they'll X you out.
Well, we've kind of noticed if you're doing a Trump hate stuff, like I don't like, they reduce the exposure of your site. We've actually noticed that. And one more thing, look to your right. My boy Patrick was wearing eyeliner, full makeup on Saturday night. He became his true self.
Whatever is floats your boat, man.
J.D. Vance.
As Sammy Davis once said, that's cool, babe.
He went as J.D. Vance to his little party, and his wife went as that childless cat lady, whatever the hell that thing was. It's actually kind of a cool thing.
It was fun.
Where was this?
His house.
In my house.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
We do an annual Halloween party.
Okay.
With,
was
with
it a public event?
No, it was not a public event.
All right, Marty's coming up. Along with Patrick.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.